Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from August 27, 1996.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, and welcome to the best in live overnight talk radio from the Tahitian and Hawaiian Islands in the west, east to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north to the pole, and worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM. Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. Well, it took all day long, but the photograph that I have been wanting, I now have. First of all, I would like to thank everybody at Hard Copy, and they did their doggonest to get a release to get the photograph to us. And it just didn't work out in the end. But they are very good people and tried very hard. Then we discovered that MSNBC's website had the photograph we were searching for. Now, if you go to my website now, you will be able to see it. There are three versions of it and a link to MSNBC. And it will be in the new category right at the top of the web page. Let me read you again the New York Times article that set off this search. New York Times, Hampton Bays, New York. All things being equal, Linda Cabot says she wishes she had never taken the photograph. But she did. What can she say? In the dusky sky that serves as a backdrop for the otherwise routine snapshot, there appears to be a cylindrical object with one end aglow. On another day, another part of the country, the object, if it is an object, would have been dismissed as a simple optical illusion of some sort, or the result of a watermark on the camera lens. But Cabot took the photograph on the fateful night of July 17th when TWA Flight 800 exploded a few miles south of where she stood with her camera. Once the FBI heard about Cabot's snapshot, it requested and received the commercially developed photographs from the roll of film as well as all the negatives. Now, this photograph is not distinct. As you might imagine, it would not be distinct. I believe that it was a Republican fundraiser that was underway at the time, and they were taking photographs of people that were there at the party. However, in the background, clearly, there is something. Bearing in mind, this was a photograph taken in the correct direction, at the correct time, and that it was not intended to be a photograph of a missile, but of a person, and anybody who does any camera work knows that you focus on the people in the foreground. That is the way you focus a camera. So, this is your opportunity, and what I would say is, go to my website now, because it was we had a lot of trouble locating it, and getting it set up, and I want to thank Keith, as usual, Keith Rowland, for all the machinations we went through today to get this up there for you. You take a look. You tell me what it was in that sky that night at that time. There's about 200 eyewitnesses now who saw something headed toward that airplane. I think there is a good chance this was that something. If it wasn't, then you tell me what it is. So as I said, that photograph, as promised, is now on my webpage. You go take a look and send me some facts. I'll give you my fax number or some email and let me know what you think. It is definitely something. And it was in the sky, in the right direction, at the right time. Now, if that's not a missile, what is it? My webpage is www.artbell.com. www.artbell.com. So go take a look, and if one of the pictures doesn't come out for you, try one of the other ones, depending on the browser you're using. All right, what else is going on? Oh yes, flashback to yesterday and this. Good morning, Art. I, too, have noticed a change in my compass reading. This afternoon, while driving to work, I glanced down at the compass in my car and happened to notice it was off by 10 degrees. I thought it was just my compass, since it is a few years old. So I went out, bought a new one tonight after work, and what do you think happened? The same damn thing with a brand new one. Now I know my orientation and where points of reference lie with regard to north, south, east, and west. So this leaves me wondering what the hell is going on, especially since you just mentioned it at the top of your show. Weird. Glad to have you back from vacation. So now we have two separate, distinct, really three, reports of compass deviation. This happened about a year ago, and I wonder if it's occurring again now. So those of you who are able and who do regular compass readings, do us all a favor and take a quick look and let me know. That, too, would be a reason to fax me. My fax number is area code 702-727-8499, 702-727-8499. Now, the convention. I watched NBC News tonight, and the only news they had on was the convention, one way or the other. It took up the entire 30 minutes. Other than a stock market report, I don't think I saw any other news. That was it. Now, as you know, during the Republican convention, I was on vacation. So I don't know what kind of resources of the networks were devoted to the convention. You tell me. Please do tell me. And maybe it was the same. Maybe all 30 minutes were devoted to the Republican convention. I don't know. I wasn't here. I'm just wondering. I'm just curious. Because I'll tell you, fluff pieces and all, discussion of first ladies, and the convention took all 30 minutes of NBC's evening news. First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton took on Republican nominee Bob Dole Tuesday night, offered a spirited defense of her book on child rearing. Ms. Clinton told Democratic convention in Chicago that Dole's scathing attack on her book, It Takes a Village, was wrong. Dole said it just takes a mama and a daddy, mother and a father to raise a child, not a village. First Lady replied tonight, no, it takes parents, teachers, clergy, business people. And it takes a president to raise a child. It takes a president to raise a child. And I'm curious how many of you out there feel that this president or any other has had a lot to do with your child's rearing. Does your child frequently mention the president? No, mommy, I can't do that because the president said I can't do that, or I shouldn't do that, or the president said this or that. In other words, how much influence has the president had on the rearing of your child? I don't know where they get this stuff. Former New York Governor Mario Cuomo appeared to fellow Democrats and gave Bill Clinton and Al Gore a rousing wish for four more years. He said, Bill Clinton spells hope, and Republicans spell disaster. Now, the Democrats, you'll notice, stick here to four-letter words, hope. Jesse Jackson rose then, noted he disagreed with the president's decision to sign welfare reform, but applauded the president for raising the minimum wage and backing affirmative action. Indiana Governor Bayh, in the keynote address, pictured the president as a man with an unfinished agenda to restore opportunity, responsibility, and a sense of family for all. Well, he has an unfinished agenda, but, you know, part of it was to get the homosexuals into the military. He had to end up settling for a don't ask, don't tell policy, so that agenda isn't finished. He was going to nationalize virtually health care in America, and of course he didn't finish that agenda. He was going to give the middle class a tax break, and he didn't finish that agenda. So I guess he does have an unfinished agenda. Dear Art, welcome home. I've been watching it too. Just saw Jesse. Now watching Mario. Amazes me how the Democrats continue to paint over the meaning of their words. Fact is, by what I'm hearing, these people are totally socialist. They need more programs to cover up their continuing failures that the average American has been forced to fund during the past 40 years. So, there you have it. The Democrats are whooping it up in Chicago. Meanwhile, Hurricane Edward is whooping it up right now to the 130 mile per hour mark. This is a big hurricane. And they don't know where it's going to go. Could head toward the islands. It's presently 265 miles north-northeast of the Leeward Islands and moving west-northwest. Could come to the U.S., could come north, hit the Bahamas. It's hard to know exactly what it's going to do, and they don't know. But if it does hit the coast, it's going to be bad. The Chechenian the situation is due to continue to improve. Russian troops are supposed to resume their withdrawal beginning tomorrow. We will see. Believe almost nothing of what you read about Russia. They talk peace and indeed have a lot of war. Dear Art, early this morning between 8:15 and 8:45, a newscaster on Las Vegas radio station KJUL announced between songs that the National UFO Research Department is seeking witnesses to an event in the Southwest that occurred last night that could be described as a battle between people on the ground and a hovering craft. He was rather adamant the story was real. I contacted the station. They said it came from Westwood One. I don't know what show it was. Couldn't find anything else about it. Have you heard any accounts, or is it just more disinformation? I don't know. It's the only report on it that I've got. Hey, Art, hello again. Isn't Executive Decision a killer movie? I saw it first last March, a few weeks before it hit the theaters, sneak preview, and it blew Broken Arrow away. Well, that wasn't too hard. I agree. It is an absolutely tremendous movie. If you get a chance, see it. Here is a story indicating that drug use in California is on the increase among young people, just about at the same levels as it is nationally. It's unbelievable. Cocaine nationally up 166%. I mean, these are non-trivial figures. This is a return to the earlier years, 30 years ago, that kind of drug use. Dear Art, here is my anti-union joke for the day. Please feel free to use it. What's orange and sleeps six? People in California will appreciate the answer. A Caltrans crew cab. is the answer to that. All right, well, I've got quite a bit more here, but I think I'm going to hold it. The moon be full. I don't know if you've glanced outside, but it's a great big round moon up there. And, of course, it indicates nearly anything can happen. One more time, I want to urge you computer users to quickly head up toward our website and get a look at this photograph and tell me what you think it is, bearing in mind it was the right place, the right angle, the right time on that fateful night when TWA 800 was shot down. If this is not a missile, what is it? Is just one more little thing. It comes from the Orange County Register in the opinion page. And I'm not going to read you the whole article because I decided the title of the article really asks the question that I want to ask. And it's not a question here. It's simply an article entitled "The Lies We Tell Our Young People." And I thought, you know, there lies an important family values question. The Democrats are wanting to talk about family values, and I think that's just fine. And I think this would be a spiffy way to torch off a conversation on exactly that. We tell our young people a lot of lies. Now, the article, of course, mentions drugs. The article mentions sex. But as I think across the spectrum of things that you raise with a child and things you tell a child, we tell them a lot of lies, don't we? That just might have something to do with the reason that they come up and become less than perfect little citizens. You know, some of them indulging in crime and drug sales, and some of them to a lesser degree, disagreeable, foul little children. And why are we raising a group of, at least to some degree, disagreeable, foul little children? The answer might lie with, no pun intended, what we tell our young people. The lies we tell our young people as adults, and we all do it. I'm sure I'm guilty of it myself. But I thought I would ask you what you thought some of the lies are that we tell young people, that adults, as not just individually, but nearly as a group, inculcate in our youth. Lies, untruths, warnings that that we give our young people. Many times it comes as kind of a warning. Don't you do this or don't you do that or this will happen. Lies. Otherwise said, lies. So, if anybody has any contribution to what we're going to form as a list here, how about it? What are the lies we tell our young people? Anybody with any nomination?
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. To Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 27th of August, 1996.
Once again, I do seem to be here. Sometimes it surprises me. Another day on Earth. How about that?
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean, without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack, when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. Our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to Harry's.com right now and enter code 3535 to check out. That's Harry's.com, code 3535.
This announcement is for every man tired of waking up multiple times a night to use the bathroom. By calling now, preferred customers can get a free bottle of Perfect Prostate Formula with ingredients shown to help reduce those annoying nighttime bathroom visits. The Perfect Prostate Challenge is available by responding to this advertisement. If lines are busy, try again. Because the Perfect Prostate Free Bottle Challenge is exclusive, it's not available in drugstores. Perfect Prostate was formulated by Dr. Mitchell Fleischer with ingredients clinically studied to support an aging prostate. Perfect Prostate helps to increase flow when you go and helps to stop it when you sleep. We challenge you to try your first bottle of Perfect Prostate formula absolutely free and guarantee you'll be amazed by the results. Just pay shipping and processing. Dial 1-800-680-4724. That's 1-800-680-4724. This is a limited-time offer, one free bottle per household. Call now. Dial 1-800-680-4724.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at coasttocoastam.com.
Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
You and I have talked about the possibility of some nation getting very close to the United States with portable missile launchers. And then, you know, you launch a nuke into the atmosphere, it detonates, and it's history for us technologically, isn't it?
Absolutely. Anybody that's involved in this issue asks, why have we not been thinking about this? I hope we straighten it out before we have to pay a terrible price.
Well, I hope so, too.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 27th of August, 1996.
Art, I checked out the photograph. The close-up looks interesting. But I am puzzled by something when one checks further down in the story and sees the picture of the people who were photographed. Nothing abnormal in the background, yet the story quotes Mrs. Cabola saying her husband notices something in the frame that glows. Why can't we see that glow in the background? Well, my guess would be we only have scans, not the original photograph, to begin with. And secondly, it just may be one of those things that after the news of TWA broke, they went back intentionally and took a look at their photographs and looked very closely. Very closely. It did require a blow-up of that area to get a good look at it. Now, I'm not saying that's a missile, but if it isn't, what is it? What is it? You go take a look. And again, my thanks to everybody involved. But it finally turned out that we were able to just link to MSNBC and obtain the photograph there. And you'll see that one of them will work for you, one of those links. My webpage is www.artbell.com. Oh, one more little note. Just received a fax from somebody. It says, Art, there's been a military takeover of a small town in Pennsylvania. My friend just called me and said that the military, with the infamous black helicopters, have taken over a small town in Pennsylvania. Oh, no. Have you heard anything? No. And then this Art, I grew up in the 60s and early 70s. Nixon was president. When I was a child, yeah, he influenced my childhood. I was bugging people, too. Tom in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Oh, my. And I guess one more here, why not? Dear Art, if it takes a president to raise a child correctly, why in the hell is juvenile crime and drug use worse than it's ever been? The Clintons don't know anything about raising a child. They had their illegal alien nanny do it for them. Well, I don't know about that, Dan. That's Dan in Illinois. But he makes a pretty good point. Takes a president. Takes a village. Takes this and that. But at the top of the line, it takes a president to raise a child. Oh, come on. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Top of the morning to you. Hello? Hello, hello?
Yeah, this is Ray from
Hi.
Tennessee.
Yes, Ray.
Is this Art Bell?
Yes, sir.
Long-time listener and long-time fan. I was wondering if you've heard the rumors going around that some bigwigs in the Democratic Party back in Washington are asking Bill Clinton to either step down from the nomination or resign?
No. No, I haven't heard that. Why would they do that?
I don't know. That's just a buzz that's been going around for the past couple of hours.
Yeah.
Your good friend Terry Taylor caught the tail end of that when he was over at the convention right before the end of the show.
Yeah. What is the what does the rumor say about why?
Something to do with the Whitewater deal.
Whitewater.
There's some sort of stink about the Whitewater, and some of the heavyweights in the Democratic Party are trying to talk Mr. Clinton into either backing out of the nomination or resigning.
Well, you can't discount anything because anything could be, but I would bet against it right now.
If you don't mind me asking, whatever happened with Art's part?
Oh, well, we report on that every week on Dreamland, including this last week on Dreamland, sir. It's kind of hard to give you a summary of an ongoing investigation that gets reported on every week. If you listen to Dreamland, we have a report in the first hour.
I'm here around Clarksville, Tennessee, so when would Dreamland be around here?
Probably 10 to 1. Check with your local station. I'm not sure when they run it. But
on Sunday?
I'm going to guess 10 to 1, yeah.
Okay, but Dreamland is still on Sunday, though.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, all right.
Thank you very much. And check with, you know, some stations tape delay it, and which is fine. That's fine. As long as you get it, you'll just have to check time-wise and find out when they run it. Yeah, I remember that. Doesn't taste bad. Go ahead, try it. And you can just tell by when you're a child, and really I haven't... changed greatly from that point. My food has got to look right to me. You know what I mean? How many of you are like that? There are a lot of gourmet eaters out there. My wife is one of them. It doesn't matter. Fish eggs, ducks with faces, you know, anything. To me, food has got to look right. I mean, I want a hamburger to look like a hamburger. I don't want something looking back at me from my soup. I don't like a lot of unrecognizable mixed things. I think that probably had to do with my years in the military. They served a lot of unrecognizable mixed things to me. And I didn't like that. So I'm not a great exotic food eater. I like the, you know, the staples, things that I recognize, and tend to shy away from experimentation with food. So, yeah, I remember that one. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello, you must be in a truck.
A van.
Where are you?
In Palm Springs.
Palm Springs, okay.
One of the first things I noticed about the increased press given the Democratic convention was that when the Republican convention was going on, they continued to state that there was no news, that nothing was going on, that the whole event, you know, could have been staged because nothing was happening.
Well, it was staged. That's true. Thank you. It was staged. What I wanted to know was, I wasn't, of course, in the country during that time. While I got news of the convention, what I did not get was a sense of how the media was covering it, and I still don't have that. Now, again, watching NBC News last night, other than the stock market report, I guess, as far as they're concerned, nothing else happened in the world but the Democrats' convention, or was about to happen. You know, they were anticipating it. And here's a little taste of what so-and-so is going to say and so-and-so is going to say. But they spent a full 30 minutes on that and welfare reform and all related to the convention. 30 minutes, beginning to end. Like nothing else happened. So for those of you who were here during the Republican convention, did we get equal treatment? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
How are you, Art?
Well, I'm okay.
Hey, did you hear the story? My name's Joe. I'm in Sutherland, Oregon.
Yes, sir.
Did you hear the story that broke, I think out of California, about the CIA smuggling cocaine and starting the crack epidemic?
Yes, San Jose Mercury News.
Yeah. What did you think about that?
Well, I knew that there was smuggling going on. I've said it for years. I don't think that it was a full-blown policy. I think that pilots brought back... took down guns and brought back cocaine. I've always known that went on. And so I'm not surprised.
Isn't that just sick that through that whole just say no era, they're bringing in and they're selling the drugs to us? And,
well, I don't, you see, I don't believe that it is as widespread sort of a policy thing as they're seeming to suggest.
But it's just like hunting, you know. If you go out and you see one deer in the woods, there's usually nine you didn't see.
Mm-hmm. But law enforcement, you see, frequently requires... Now there were two things going on. One was pilots being a bit of entrepreneur and bringing back drugs so they didn't have to bring back an empty airplane. I mean, there's good profit, so they do it. The other was that our DEA had ongoing sting operations. 60 Minutes ran a big piece on that. And in the sting, they participated in undercover work. Part of that would involve allowing some shipments to get through to get to the right people. Now, do I believe this was, as is suggested, some overall policy to hook the nation on drugs? No, I don't. Do I think there was dirty dealing going on? Yup, I do. Not a policy, but individual. And then some government-sponsored sting work that looked very much like government drug dealing. That's what I think happened. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Well, good evening, Art. This is T in lovely liberal Portland.
Yes, sir.
You know, I don't have my computer set up right for cruising the web. I don't have the right software or hardware and the $15 a month for cruising. So have you got the picture of the purported missile over on the Art Bell, Nevada BBS?
No.
Oh, God.
No, I don't. Although my vacation pictures are there now, by the way.
Oh, okay. I'll tune in for that. You know, back when I guess it was the first day after the plane went down and they were showing all those interviews on TV of people saying something was rising up from the surface of the water towards the plane. I was thinking of a missile, but I wasn't thinking a friendly fire incident until just recently.
Well, it's entirely possible, Pete. Thank you. Again, you get up there and you take a look at that photograph and you let me know. You tell me what that is or what kind of chance there is that what you're seeing is a missile. The right place, the right time, the right angle. And it is certainly an anomaly that looks an awful lot like a missile to me. But again, when you're taking a photograph like that, you're taking the photograph of people. because they were trying to capture a photograph. You know, they were at a fundraiser, I believe, political fundraiser, and they were trying to get the people in the picture. So what they got in the sky as a small part of the picture was not the target. It just showed up. What is it? Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
I have a wild card question for you from Columbia, South Carolina. This is Bernard, WVOC.
Okay, speak up good and loud for
okay,
me.
Last night you were going to talk, you said you were going to talk about guns and gun control, and I have a gun control question for your listening audience.
Okay.
And I want to start a debate that doesn't have to end tonight.
All right.
Based on everything I'm hearing coming out of the Democratic Convention, God forbid should Bill Clinton win re-election and Hillary Clinton run in 2000, the American people may have to arm themselves to defend themselves from their government. I'm trying to figure out what is the right type of long gun for me to obtain and what is the right cartridge that should be adopted by the American people when they choose weapons with which to defend themselves. Is it 30-30? Is it maybe the NATO 5.62? Is that it? Which is the equivalent of the 223 Remington. Americans, tell me, what should we choose as the right cartridge based on ammunition availability when we decide to defend ourselves? Since we should all the right people should choose the right cartridge. And I want your listeners to start thinking, what should we choose? Maybe we should go back to the M1 Garand and get 308.
All right. Thank you very much. I think that the question you ask is kind of a flippant one in the sense that you would appear to be asking what is the right equipment to stock up for a revolution, you know, if I'm reading through what you're saying correctly, and I'm sure I am. And in other words, to fight off the government, well, I don't think it's going to come to that. If you're sincerely asking what is a good self-defense weapon, that would vary from person to person, their capabilities, their stature, their abilities, and all the rest of it. So, but that is not what, in fact, you were saying. It was readily transparent what you were saying and kind of silly. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm okay.
Yeah, I was calling about Clinton.
Clinton? Who's he?
Who's he? He's the President of the United States.
Oh, yes.
Anyway.
The one raising our children.
Yeah, this one guy, you know, this guy's like, the whole saying goes, symbolism without substance. I think that if he gets reelected, he's going to turn completely liberal, turn, you know, completely against everything that's right, as quote what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the majority of the American people believe that?
I'm not sure what they believe.
Or do you think they're going to buy into the new conservative ending welfare as we know it until I'm reelected, Bill Clinton?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do, too. Thank you. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning to you. Where are you?
I am in Bend, Oregon.
Bend, all right.
Yeah, I have a comment or a thought about the facts that you got that was on TWA stationary about what it was about communications between the people at TWA and the Pentagon.
That's right.
What I was thinking is that could have been kind of a fact that was faked by somebody from a foreign country like Iraq or something that would have the intention of taking the gaze off of the foreign terrorists and putting it onto a friendly fire type of situation.
Well, no, not necessarily. TWA meeting with the Pentagon, the TWA chief, that could mean any of the above. It could mean that the U.S. military had concerns about friendly fire. It could mean the Pentagon had concerns about foreign suspects. It could mean anything.
Oh, well, I was thinking it would mean more that.
Frankly, I really wasn't surprised. I would expect the head of TWA to interact with our military regarding this whole thing. Sure, why not?
Well, I was just wondering if maybe it was, why would not TWA interact with our military? Well, I thought that the innuendo was that there was something secret going on between TWA and the military, like it was some kind of cover-up.
Yeah, well, right. That was the innuendo in the facts. That is not necessarily the innuendo I draw from it. I would imagine TWA's meeting with the FAA, NTSB, FBI, for all I know, CIA, and the Pentagon. None of that surprises me. On our first-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello. Going once, going twice, gone. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, this is Mike from St. Louis.
Hello, Mike.
I think before that one guy starts arming himself for some kind of revolution, he better start learning his calibers. He had the numbers all mixed up on those.
Yeah, well, he didn't really care because that was not the message that he was trying to send.
Yeah, I think before we start worrying about having a revolution in this country, we better start paying attention to what some of these guys like Major Dames are saying about digging at the hole to keep them blown away.
Yeah. By the way, I've got a very, very interesting remote viewing report. One of the students of the Major at Farsight, is that the Major at Farsight?
SciTech.
This is Farsight. Who looked at the construction of the pyramids, and I've got a full report here. It's very interesting.
Is that on the web?
Not yet. I've got it in front of me, though. I just got it.
Oh, that ought to be pretty interesting.
Well, maybe I'll read it for all of you, and we'll let you decide. If you get a chance, you take a look at that missile picture, okay?
Sure will. Thank
all right.
You.
Take care. That's www.artbell.com. Then you send me a fax and let me know what you think.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Works presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from August 27, 1996.
We are into several very interesting topics, and I will tell you about them in a moment briefly. We've got two very important things going on now. Actually, three. No, two important things and one frivolous. No, two important things and two frivolous things if you count the Democrat convention. The most important thing, in my opinion, is this missile photograph. We've got it. We went through many machinations during the day trying to get it. Our friends at Hard Copy tried their best but couldn't release the photograph to us. Then it turned up on the MSNBC website. So, you can go to my website and take a look at that photograph now. Now, some people are writing and saying, well, where's the TWA jet? Well, that's not necessarily in the photograph at all. I don't see it. Look, this is a woman on Long Island during a political fundraising event of some kind, you know, a party. And her husband, who took a photograph of some of the people at the party. It just so happens that whoever took the picture was pointing the camera at the right place, at the right time, and what they caught is open to debate. I don't see the TWA jetliner there, nor is it represented as supposed to be there, as supposedly being there, so I don't see it. But that doesn't mean this missile was not in flight toward it. I say missile. I don't know what it is. You see, they were focusing on the people, obviously, at the party, trying to take a picture of the people, not the sky. And so what they caught was, and obviously out of focus, because you're focusing on the people, with respect to a little tiny part of the sky where they caught what appears to be a missile in flight. So, I'm telling you, you go up there and take a look at that photograph, and you tell me what that is, right place, right time, something very anomalous that looks an awful lot like a missile to me. I think this is a very important photograph. The FBI has confiscated the photographs and the negatives. But there was one photograph left. It's now out. And you need to take a good, hard look at it and tell me what it is. This is significant. I'm not saying that it is absolute smoking missile proof. It's not. But by God, it's something in the sky at the right time, the right place. And I suggest you take a look. It took a lot of work to get it up there, and I want to thank everybody involved, including MSNBC, which has it on their page, including Keith Rowland, who managed to get the links put in, including Hard Copy, who tried to get it to us. They were very nice. Anyway, it's done. You go up there and take a look, please. The other item is, last night, this is really under the category of here we go again, and I'm going to read you some faxes, and then I think you better do some checking. Keith in Magnetic Volcano last night called up and said, hey, we got a big 10-degree magnetic deviation suddenly. Then a lady sent me a fax tonight before the show saying, Art, I too noticed a 10-degree deviation, so I went out and bought a new compass. And I'll be damned if I didn't get the same one, and now come rolling in the following faxes. Let me read them to you. Art, I missed the top of the show, but I took a compass reading with a very good Lasantic compass. I sighted in on a tree that the sun rises behind every day, should be east. And lo and behold, I'm off by 10 to 12 degrees. It's happened before. I think about 8 to 10 months ago. What's up? Robin in San Diego. Or this, dear Art, compass readings taken just now on a military unit show a 15-degree shift of magnetic north to the east from the normal here in Alaska. My mobile home was set originally at 355 degrees and is now reading 340. What this will do to navigation, what will it do? Anything not GPS-guided. Is there an agency that can be contacted to verify this? Thank you. Rich in Glen Allen, Alaska. Or this, dear Art, north on my compass is pointing more to the north-northeast. This is really bizarre. How can we find an explanation? And so forth. So I'm beginning to get those faxes. It begins to look to me as though we may be in the middle of another strange, anomalous, magnetic variation. So anybody out there who wants to check is welcome to do so and fax me. And if you've seen the photograph of this anomalous object in the sky, over the skies of Long Island, out toward the ocean at the right time, I would like you to take a look. I'm not saying this is a missile. I'm just saying it's a hell of a coincidence to have something like this in the sky, whatever this thing is, just literally seconds before the blow-up of this airplane. And then, inspired by an article in the Orange County Register entitled The Lies We Tell Our Young People, I've been asking you what lies you think we tell our children. And, oh, we do tell lies, don't we? My wife said, it'll only hurt for a minute. She said, it doesn't taste bad. That's right. We tell our children that. Go ahead, honey. It doesn't taste bad. Go ahead. Take a bite. Art, we begin by telling our children about the Tooth Fairy, Santa Claus, Easter Bunny. While it's fun and cute, it tells our children that wishing makes true, rather than teaching them that whatever they want in life must be worked for and earned. Sean in Yucca Valley says, you'll understand that when you grow up. Right, Sean. Yeah, right, you'll understand that when you grow up. There are a lot of things that grown-ups never do understand, right? Back to the phones. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, my name is Sal.
Okay. From where?
Arkansas.
Arkansas, all right.
Yes, London, Arkansas.
Okay, turn your radio off there.
Okay, I've turned it off.
Good.
Okay, I want to say one thing, that you are the single most entertaining thing to listen to at 3 o'clock in the morning. And that you're a god. I worship you. That's all.
Well, thank you. I'm not God. I'm not God, nor am I the Antichrist. So I really can't take credit for either one. Not God, and I'm definitely not the Antichrist. How do I know that? Well, there was a Catholic priest that came on our cruise. And he looked at me and he said, actually, I asked him, I said, Father, do you think I'm the Antichrist? And he said, well, you know, at first I did. But you're not. So that's my best evidence. Catholic Father looked me right in the eye and told me I wasn't. Be fun to hear from him. God, that was a great cruise. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Yes, turn your radio off.
God, that was a great cruise.
Turn it off.
Yes, we're off. I had a little news flash that was very, very strange the other day that I heard on the ABC radio network here in San Antonio.
Yes.
On the 26th, and it only came across once. Regarding the Jupiter mission, I believe I've heard many of your shows about the potential for a fissionable event around the year 2000.
Yes.
They mentioned, and it was only a short, brief message. It said that, and here I actually wrote it down, the probe main computer has failed and is in the, and they're trying to initialize the backup mode.
That is accurate.
Oh, my God.
I've got that report as well. It figures, huh?
The HAL 2000 has never made a mistake, has it?
Somebody pointed out last night, Dr. Carlotto, or maybe I pointed out to him, that back in the days of the earlier, less higher-tech probes, they all worked. You know, but in recent years, if you look at what we've sent out, they've all failed. Just
well,
about.
All those Japanese ICs.
Well, I don't know. Whatever the cause is, thank you very much. You're absolutely right. And the current Jupiter probe does have computer problems. And I've not seen anything to indicate that that has been fixed yet. So, figures, right? They're getting close to shots of the moon of Jupiter that we want to see, and there's going to be a computer problem. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. You know, I think that the picture has a great deal of relevance based upon the fact that there were so many credible witnesses to a missile, you know, early on.
About 200. Now, have you seen the photograph?
I have not seen the photograph,
okay.
but it bears a great deal of relevance given the fact that there were so many credible eyewitnesses. And
look,
I don't know,
and including two military, the one that got me was the two military pilots, jocks, who were in a commercial aircraft and said without equivocation that was a missile, period.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing was, I don't know if you've heard this, I don't know, it got to be classified a rumor, I suppose, but on KSFO, somebody called in who had been to Paris and said that there's an Israeli newspaper published in Paris 2 days after the crash had stated that it was, in fact, shot down by accident by the U.S. military. And the very next day, huge noise was made about Jonathan Pollard being released, and his wife went on a hunger strike.
Well, the Israelis know a lot about military attacks by accident. I'm recalling a ship of ours that got wiped out.
By accident, yeah, right. So, but anyway, I haven't heard anything, but if Jonathan Pollard gets set free, I'm going to be real disappointed.
I appreciate your call, sir, and I too heard those reports, but I have not actually seen anything in print about that. First-time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Okay, where are you?
Moses Lake, Washington. This is Mike.
Hi, Mike.
I got a question for you.
All right.
Why is it, you know, I'm just a regular guy here, yet I watched the, this is about Clinton, how people can listen to all the things that he's said over the last 4 years and then really take him seriously when he starts promising tax cuts and all these kinds of things in, a, in the current election. And I wonder if it's just me or am I, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm the only one who sees through this. I know that I'm not. But what is it that he does to convince people that what he's saying is that he believes?
What he does is tell people what they want to hear, and that works every time. If you tell people what they want to hear, they immediately settle for it because it meets their expectations, and he is an expert at doing that, sir.
And so how come, it seems to me that we're more, as a society, I think we're more concerned about what's inside of, or what's on the outside of a package than what's on the inside. Mm-hmm. If it looks good, we think it's great. And we don't really care about the substance of what it might be. And I think that that's kind of the thing that, that bothers me. That we, if it were a Republican that were doing the same thing or had the same track record, I would think the same thing about him. Doesn't matter if it's a Democrat or Republican. Anyway, I just wanted to run that by you, see what you thought.
Well, I think you're right, is what I think. Thank you very much for the call. I think you're right. That is Mr. Clinton's talent. That he is a good politician. Look, I would never take that away from him. Now, I don't know how much of a compliment that is, a good politician, but that's what he is, a good politician. He has refined it to a new level. He's a Mighty Morphin Man. He can be and will be what you want him to be. And if it requires that he sign welfare bills that he wouldn't have signed in a trillion years otherwise, he signs them. I mean, we're talking about a man who is president and wants desperately to be president again. And will do whatever it takes to achieve that. And I believe he will be reelected. Under the category of greatest lies to our children, Jackie submits the following. I'll love you no matter what. You usually said right after you've done something that would blow the love out of the most a maternal mother ever seen on the face of the earth, something truly horrible. They wind it up by saying, I'll love you no matter what. Guess that's true. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello?
Hello?
This is Marion from Maryland.
Mary from Maryland.
Marion.
Marion from Maryland. All right. How you doing?
Fine.
How's Maryland this morning?
Oh, it's pretty good.
Well, what's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to call about the, I didn't understand if you were asking about the Republican convention or the news broadcast.
Well, I was in Europe, in Russia, while the Republicans had their convention, so I don't know what the media coverage was like. I just know that last night when I watched NBC, Mr. Brokaw spent the entire 30-minute newscast covering what there was to cover of the Democrats' convention, and I was wondering if the Republicans got equal treatment.
No, indeed. We only get ABC, but there was very little about the Republican convention on the news.
Really?
Really. And when we tried to watch the convention itself, we got to see Peter Jennings and the whole cast of ABC. A lot more than we got to see any of the politicians were here.
Well, at least with the Republicans, there was a little bit of the unknown. I mean, we had just found out who was going to be the vice presidential candidate. It's not like we don't know who the candidates are for the Democrats, right?
Right.
So there was a little tension there. We got to find out about 15% tax cut that Bob Dole wanted to give. We're not getting much new from the president, though maybe Thursday night will change all of that. So far, if the Republican convention was boring, this one is...
The Republican convention was very interesting.
Well, I understand, but the likes of Ted Koppel thought it boring and left.
Oh, yeah, well, sure. There wasn't anything he thought was new.
Well, listen, my dear, I thank you for the call from Maryland.
Thank you.
You take care. Maryland. I once lived in Maryland, so I know about Maryland. Actually, I lived near Fort Ritchie, if those of you in that area know where that is. Way up in a mountain, it was cool. You know, ham radio operators like mountains. We had this big old house, and I used to put antennas up, and oh, I'll tell you, that was some supreme ham radio location. Ham radio operators like mountains. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Bale. This is a socialist from Kansas City.
Well, I'll be a son of a gun. Inspired to dial forth, no doubt, by the ongoing spectacle of the convention in Chicago.
Yes, sir. Unequivocally, the newscast carried all the Republican convention while he was gone. From opening minute to closing minute.
They did? You mean...
Surely, every night.
The network spent 30 minutes on it every night?
I watch ABC and CBS.
I had heard that Ted Koppel packed up his bags and left.
That's because the Republicans didn't have anything to say, anything to show us.
Listen, do you want to hold through the break here?
I'll do you that favor.
Well, okay, we are graced. Thank you, and we will be right back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. We take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Democrat convention's going on. Takes a president to raise a child. We've got the picture of the missile, question mark, whatever it is, streaking across the Long Island sky. Out to sea. Seconds before the TWA jet blew up. Take a look. It's on my webpage. Let us know what you think. From Ring of the Dolphin, you're listening to the newest Cusco right now. Back to matters at hand. Art, the photo, I've seen it now. Does look suspicious. Mark in California. Yes, I certainly agree with you. It's going to be interesting as the evening wears on to see what people think. And I've got a lot more here, including a man. You're not going to believe this. Man barricaded with a bunch of pet rats. It's an Associated Press story from Billings, Montana. This one will blow you away. But first, back to Mr. Socialism himself in Kansas City, Mo. Back on the air again.
Yes, sir, Mr. Bell. Mm-hmm. Are you there?
For the most part.
Hey, your attacks on health. Well, number one, this deal about it takes a village and it takes a family debate between her and Dole. She won. It's obvious. Your criticisms are inane. You know, it's like you're going, nyeh, 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 nyeh.
Well, actually, this will please you. I'm going to give you time. Now, listen, I've got a fax here, and it's going to back up what you just said. Art, your interpretation of the First Lady's speech was pathetically simplistic. Obviously, you still don't get it or don't want to. I'm not going to try to explain it to you. I think you're actually smarter than that. Your attitude toward the First Lady is very ugly. It doesn't become you. Also, I think we could take some lessons on raising children from the Clintons, judging by their lovely, well-adjusted daughter. However you may disagree with them politically, the Clintons are, by all account, warm and caring people. You should try and judge them honestly.
Well, I think that letter's right on.
I knew you would.
Okay,
I knew you would.
You don't need to argue that.
From now on, when the child does something wrong, instead of saying, when your dad gets home, we're going to be telling, I guess moms are going to start saying, go ahead, keep it up. I'm telling Bill.
Hey, see, it's that sort of thing. You know how, that isn't even worthy of my comment. You
well,
know,
I can't help myself.
You go down and, can't you say something of substance on, if you're going to attack Bill on this, okay, it takes a president.
I mean, how can you address with substance something that has no substance in the first place?
The president has to do with raising children in this country. The Republicans passed this welfare reform. Clinton, number one, says he'll ameliorate it as much as he can.
Look, it's patently ridiculous to suggest that it takes a president to raise a child. The president has as much to do with raising children in this country as a rock does with drinking water.
Okay, I can prove you wrong. You're going to not interrupt me?
Well, I won't guarantee that,
okay,
but go ahead.
The welfare people, they got to have health care. They got to have babysitters. What are you going to pay this person, this welfare mother, you're going to pay her minimum wage, and then she's going to have to get a babysitter, and then her health insurance, that's her whole check, Mr. Bell. If we don't have a president that can lead us to share our wealth in this country,
that's what you
people are about.
Are you attacking me or the president? I mean, he's the one who signed the bill.
I'm attacking your Republican self-interest, money-grubbing, money-worshipping, give-me-mine philosophy.
All right, having said that, if you were the President of the United States, would you have signed that bill? Hello?
Yes. You're ready for your trick questions?
No, people spend
millions of dollars brainwashing the American people.
Did you say yes, you would have signed it?
You people spend millions of dollars brainwashing the American people. You've got them thinking that welfare mothers are lazy, poor, and are lazy, black, and fat.
Do you think there ought to be a cutoff after a certain point or not?
I think that if these people... Okay, yes. People, when Adam and Eve screwed up, God put us out in the wilderness and said we have to toil. I don't see anything wrong with making able-bodied people find a job. The Democratic Party, I'm sure all our leaders don't feel any remorse with able-bodied people earning their own way. That's not what we're talking about.
So in other words,
about good nutrition.
Look, one thing at a time. Come on, the president signed the bill. Is it a good bill or not?
No, it's not a good bill.
Well, then why did he sign it?
Because something has to be done. There are good parts of the bill. It sets up provisions to track down deadbeat dads. Let's talk about what the president can do to help raise a child in our society. Not only can he modify the impact of these Republicans, you know, they don't give anything. They're pushing us into a third world, pushing these people into poverty like this. And you talk about drugs and crime and everything, you know that's the breeding ground for it. What's your Republican president going to do to help these people climb out of the ghetto? Well, no problem with them. They got some cheap labor, right?
The best thing to help anybody climb out of the ghetto or climb out of poverty is a job, is work. That is the best thing. And that is what will ultimately bring them out of it, and what will trap them into it forever is the continuing and building welfare state. You see, I finally dragged it out of them. No, he doesn't think it's a good bill. No, he would not have signed it. But his president, the pinnacle of compassion, signed the bill. I wonder how he really reconciles that. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Where are you?
I'm in Puyallup, Washington.
Okay.
I wanted to comment on the photo, first off.
Yes, sir, you've seen it.
Yeah, I looked at every one of them.
Well, what do you think?
It looks, could be a missile.
That's what I said, too. It could be a missile. I mean, we're talking about the right time, the right place, the right angle, the right part of the sky, and that's an awfully big coincidence. I grant you it is like a UFO, but it also looks kind of like a missile, and so that's important, and apparently the FBI thought so, too.
Yeah, well, I wish I had one original photograph for myself. So I could
that makes all of us. I do, too.
Yeah. And as for Mrs. Clinton there and her little comment, I only got one thing to say to her, and the last gentleman you were talking to that was supporting her so well, is it's time to get real and face reality. It's a whole other world.
All right. I thank you for the call. Dear Art, the lights flickered here in East San Diego County for a brief time at 11:55 p.m. Simultaneous with that, the signal from KFMB San Diego, where the transmitters are, they're about 55 miles west of here, dropped to about half strength for 5 seconds before coming back. About 30 seconds later, the lights flickered again, but KFMB was not affected, so something's going on out there. And I'm getting endless numbers of faxes noting a significant magnetic shift from true north. Weird. Check this out. Police waiting out barricaded man with pet rats. Billings, Montana. Tear gas and a water cannon failed to drive Robert Dorton from his motel home Tuesday, where he had been barricaded for 2 days, keeping police from confiscating his pet rats. Police evacuated the area around the townhouse motel in downtown Billings because Dorton fired several dozen shots from a room that neighbors said has been his home for 8 years. The standoff began Monday after Dorton refused to open his door to an animal control officer who was responding to complaints about the rats. Tenants of the motel said they had seen two rats the size of cats. Ooh, in Dorton's room. He was seen kissing one of the rodents and referred to them as my brothers, the neighbors complained. Firefighters tried unsuccessfully to break into the room with a chainsaw. Police fired tear gas into the room when the pepper spray had no apparent effect. Dorton, who police suspect has a gas mask, responded with gunshots. Officers also fired water into the apartment with a remote-controlled nozzle elevated on a fire truck ladder. Dorton did not come out. According to Sergeant Ken Dove, we're kind of doing the Freeman thing here. Just kind of sitting and waiting. Rats as big as cats. And he's holed up. Ooh, I need to hear from Billings. People in Billings, call me. Is this really going on? Rats as big as cats? Can you imagine a rat as big? I've got a 17-pound cat. Imagine a 17-pound rat. And he's kissing them, too. I wonder if a rat really makes a good pet. I mean, they don't look like they make a good pet. They're ugly. That doesn't mean they don't make good pets. Rats, perhaps, are very loving creatures. But I don't know about kissing one of them. I wouldn't do that. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hang on, Art. Let me get the radio.
You must be in a truck.
Yes, I sure am. Call from my car phone.
Okay.
My name's Chris. I'm from Kansas City.
Yes, sir.
And just wanted to find out concerning this gentleman here from Kansas City.
Yeah.
If everybody in the nation was to go on to welfare, what would happen? Just food for thought there.
We'd be broke.
Exactly. I mean, you know, everybody needs to know that welfare is there just for people to get back on their feet, and that's it.
Tell me something.
I'm sorry?
Tell me something.
Yeah.
Would you kiss a rat?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, me too. Would you kiss a rat?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. All right, thank you very much for the call. I mean, that's a no-brainer. What would happen if everybody went on welfare? Well, it had happened a long time before everybody went on welfare. It would only stretch so far, obviously, with fewer people paying taxes, supporting those on welfare. I mean, the whole thing was obvious. We had to change it. We had to change it. That's all. It was going to drive us broke, penniless, poor. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, Art, by the way, I have a rat for a pet.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Is it a loving pet?
They're actually very calm animals, unless you, I mean, I wouldn't have like 5, 6, or 10 of them, you know, all jammed together, then they get a little stir crazy, but I have two.
Well, and, what does a rat do that indicates that it's loving? I mean, does it like to be scratched behind its little rat ears?
Well, actually, it'll sit in the palm of your hand or in your lap, and you can rub its head, and they're actually pretty maintenance-free pets.
Do they show signs? I mean, you know, when you pet a cat, it purrs, and you know that it's liking what you're doing.
Right.
Or a dog sits here and goes, and looks happy, right?
Right.
Or jiggles his back leg when you pet him. I mean, are there any obvious signs that a rat is enjoying your company?
Well, it makes a little chattering, I don't know how to explain it, little clicking noises. Not really a purr, but little clicking noises with its teeth. And it'll sit on your shoulder and nuzzle up against your neck.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, I just want to share that with you.
What do
you They're actually pretty good pets.
What do you think about this man who's got... Are your rats the size of cats?
No. They can get... I've never heard of one getting quite that big. The people I know that have rats, I've heard them getting about the size of a chihuahua. Maybe
chihuahua? Three, wow.
Maybe 2 or 3 pounds.
Wow. I suppose if you put them on science diet or something.
Well, it really depends on what you feed them. They actually...
That's what I mean.
They prefer dry dog food, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'd never thought of it before. Would you, or have you, ever kissed your rat?
No. For the main reason that the teeth are a little bit, you want to be leery of them. You can put a piece of wood, hardwood, in their pen or box, whatever you keep them in, and it helps keep their teeth dulled down. Sharp enough where they can eat, but dulled down where they,
if they
do nip you, they won't do a lot of damage.
So in other words, if you were to kiss a rat, he might get angry and bite you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And certainly there would be no tongues.
No, not at all. But I think it would have to do with how much, the animal trusts you, just like any other animal.
Oh, yeah,
if you don't mistreat it, it's not gonna react in a violent way to you.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for the call. The whole prospect is ugly to me. Kissing a rat. I kiss cats, but not a rat. I mean, somehow you go, and it'll go, chunk, take a piece of your lip away. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hi, this is the Economist Monterey.
Yay, yay.
Yeah, I saw Hillary Clinton's brilliant speech, but regarding your comment about Mr. Clinton, you know, changing all the time, you have to look to the Republicans to find this degree of hypocrisy and lies.
They do it, too.
Oh, of course. Like, and they said they'd end, Clinton in 92 said he'd end welfare as we know it. Mm-hmm. And now, Bob Dole saying we're going to end IRS. Doesn't that sound a little bit familiar?
Yeah. It's a trait of politicians. They do things that they think their constituents will like, period.
Yeah, of course. But
it just so happens that Bill Clinton is a little bit better at it than anybody else.
But just look at the economic theory. It's a complete non sequitur of this Republican renegade Congress. They're going to cut taxes and stimulate people to work harder, right? That's what they say. And yet at the same time...
They say they'll cut taxes and produce more income for the government.
Well, they're going to cut taxes so everybody will work harder and then they'll get a healthier economy. Yet at the same time and in the same breath, they say they want people to spend more time at home with their families. Now, how can you have that? It's a complete non sequitur.
Not necessarily. It depends on how the money is used. Let's get down to basics here. Do you believe or do you not believe that a tax cut will produce more revenue for the government?
No, it's absolute absurdity. It's called supply-side theory or whatever, trickle-down, voodoo economics.
Yeah.
And in fact, out of 18,000 economists who are members of the American Economics Association, only 14 say that it's even a theory.
Uh-huh. It is a theory. I mean...
it's not.
Yeah, well, of course it is.
Trickle-down? No, that's the biggest monstrous joke they've ever played on.
Actually, I'll go even farther than that. It's like a law of nature.
Only 14 professional economists say that that is true, and yet 18,000 say it is not true.
Sir,
Yeah. Sir,
let us imagine, close your eyes, and picture a rainforest. Can you do that?
Sure.
Heavy canopy overhead, right?
Right.
Okay. At the base of the rainforest, there are little plants growing, okay? Little bee plants?
Yeah.
They need water, right?
Right.
When it rains, if it rains, and we'll think of the rain as money, but when it rains, the rain initially goes to the top of the canopy and is absorbed by the trees. But as it continues to rain, eventually there is drip down, and the plants down at the bottom, they get watered.
Sure.
That's just like trickle-down economics. It's not a theory. It's like a law of nature. I mean, if things are going well and there's a lot of money around, eventually that money trickles down to the people at the lower end of the economic scale. That's just a fact of life.
It might be true in a canopy in the rainforest. However, it's not economics. And as the guy from Kansas City was saying, it's a specious, inane argument, and there's no fact about it in economics. I mean,
well,
it's absolutely ridiculous.
I think that you and the man from Kansas City have been economic blood brothers forever.
No, but these supply siders, even Bob Dole ridiculed them back in his administration. He's, you know, suddenly mocked them for all these years, and suddenly he's become one. I mean, doesn't that tell you the smack of hypocrisy and lies?
Well, no more than Mr. Clinton. I actually see both of them morphing as needed to run for the presidency.
Well, that's true. Both will do or say anything to get elected, and that's about the truth. But Clinton said he's going to put people first back in his election campaign. Now you hear Bob Dole say, we're going to put the American people first. He's stealing all his ideas, and as you say, they're morphing.
Well, yes, on that one point we can agree, and I do agree. Of course they're doing that. Bob Dole is doing it. He's picked out certain things that he thinks will resonate with the American people, offering the candy of a 15% tax cut. Has, in the process of necessity, had to become sort of a supply-side philosopher. So I agree. He's morphed, and so is Clinton. Politicians morph. That's what they do.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up.
Is that, unless you're kissing rats.
It's good to see.
I'll tell you about that in a moment. Well, the Democrats are having their convention. That is all of the news. The entire NBC Evening Newscast talked about nothing else. I was out of the country when the Republicans had their convention. I don't know if they got that kind of generous coverage or not. I do recall when I was on vacation, there was a New York Times article about Ted Koppel picking up sticks, saying there was no news and leaving. Now, I don't know what the networks did, and I'm going to rely on you to tell me if they got the same kind of coverage. The First Lady gave a speech Tuesday in which she said, she argued with Bob Dole all about It Takes a Village, you know, her book. And she said, not only does it take a village, but it takes teachers, clergy, business people, and yes, it takes a president to raise children, too. And Jesse Jackson and Mario Cuomo had their say. Mr. Bai gave his, the governor of Indiana gave the keynote address. And they get a lot of coverage. So that's going on. We're talking about that, of course. Then there are some other very odd things going on. Let me first tell you, I know there are a lot of stations that join us at this hour, West Coast, that we have got a photograph on the webpage you must see. This is the photograph taken by a lady, I think, a couple, Linda Cabot her name is, on Long Island, during a party that was going on there. I think it was a political fundraiser of some kind or another. And I spent the better part of the morning talking with my friends at Hard Copy, and they tried very hard to get that photograph released for me, but were unable to do so. And then we found it later in the day on the MSNBC website. Ta-da! There it was. And so Keith Rowland, I'll tell you, it was a real day of trying to get this on. Keith Rowland got it on for us, and there are links up there that will show you this photograph. Now, look, number one, I don't think the TWA airliner is in this photograph. Number two, don't expect it to be definitive, because it's not. What we've got here is somebody who was taking a picture at this fundraiser of some people. They were pointing the camera toward the right direction on that evening, that fateful evening, and in the photograph, it appears large, of course, because they have blown it up purposely. In the photograph, way off in the sky, there was detected this object. It was the right place, the right time, on that awful night, and I'm telling you, it is something. I don't know what. Is it a missile? Kind of looks like a missile to me. It is important evidence. The FBI certainly thought so. They confiscated the photographs and the negative. Apparently one was kept, and that is where this photograph comes from. It's important. It's undeniably important, no matter what you think of it. I mean, here is an obviously anomalous object in the sky seconds before the TWA jetliner blew up. So take a look at it. It's now on my website. The links are there. Just jump up there and take a look. How do you get there? Well, if you've got a browser, if you're on whatever, just go up to my website, www.artbell.com. www.artbell.com. Take a look for yourself. Now, another item. Oh, here's somebody commenting. Art, I just saw the photo on your website. It looks like it certainly could be a missile, but it's so big, I'm surprised no one said they heard it also. Well, again, that's Dale in Port Angeles, Washington. Dale, it's blown up, of course, as you will see by the represented circle with a line around it there. It's blown up. So, of course, it seems unnaturally large, but I don't know what the hell else that could be. Then I just have a whole flurry, I mean a flurry of people saying there is a magnetic deviation going on right now from Alaska to the East Coast. I'm getting facts after facts saying 10, 12, 15 degrees off true north. This happened almost a year ago. But now again we're getting flooded. So if you are fairly sure, I even had a lady went out and bought tonight a second compass. Very, very interesting. Why are we getting a magnetic shift? Anybody contributing, you're welcome to do so. Then there is this story. There's a story of a man with pet rats. Rats as big as cats. In Missoula, Montana. And he's holed up in a motel. Now, I could read you this story again, but he's got these pet rats, and apparently they're trying to get to him, and they can't get to him. He's shooting at them. The rats as big as cats, and he kisses them. I mean, there are witnesses in adjacent motel room, seen him kissing his rats. And he's hold on. Here's somebody, just for the record, Art, I used to have as many as 36 pet rats, and they are very cute, very intelligent pets. They're nearly as smart as dogs and easily trained. I've never had one as big as a cat, but the male ones could be pretty big. That's Derek in Greenfield, Indiana. So this guy's holed up. Local authorities there are calling it a kind of a Freeman standoff situation. The guy with rats as big as cats is not coming out despite tear gas and pepper spray and everything else they've tried. All right, we'll get to the phones in just a moment. Those are a few of the things. Oh, and we're talking about lies that we tell our children. There's a million of them. Boy, we tell our children a lot of lies. If you have any contribution to that category, you're welcome to make two. To the phones we go. Whatever is on your mind is fair game. A program where we normally don't talk a lot about politics inevitably is going to talk about politics. During a political convention and no doubt moving up toward the election itself, it is inevitable and proper that we do so. Even so, we will not concentrate on it as the central theme, but simply deal with it when its ugly head arises. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, Art. This is Marv from Bellevue, Washington.
How you doing, Marv?
Not too bad at all. Say, I've got something that is quite 800. There's something that has been forgotten about, or I've heard nothing about since the night that it actually happened.
Okay.
If you recall, there was a, I believe it was Air Sea Rescue C-130 that was in the air.
That's correct.
At the time this happened.
That's right.
All right, now, the pilot said he saw a bright white flash.
That's correct.
And then they went, then he saw the large fireball.
Yes.
They flew over to the fireball, and he said they estimated the top of the smoke cloud at approximately 7,500 feet.
Right.
And then they returned back to their home base, picked up some crew members, and flew back out. And I believe they were the first ones to drop some lifeboats and whatnot into the area where the crash occurred.
Right.
And, you know, I haven't heard anything more about this. We keep talking about the two that were on the plane, you know, on the airliner, that military pilots that saw it.
Yeah.
There were two in the air that actually went to the site.
Mm-hmm. But they didn't make any but they didn't make any statements about something rising toward Flight 800. The reason the military guys are important is, A, they're trained observers.
Uh-huh.
B, they ought to know the difference between a missile and whatever else. You know, they deal with missiles, so they know what a missile looks like.
Oh, sure.
So that impressed me.
Yeah, well, see, these were two military pilots that they did not see the missile. It's true. But they did see the white flash, and then a few seconds later saw the fireball.
Correct.
So,
well, all right.
There were two explosions that occurred.
Well, yes, that's right. But the first white flash was whatever caused the initial explosion, the impact of a missile, a bomb, exploding fuel tank, main tank, whatever. The second flash at a lower altitude was the apparent ignition of the main body of the jet fuel. And it would burn and produce about that color in a fireball of that sort. So I consider that to be an accurate rendering of what was seen, but not to answer the question about what did the ugly deed, and I think there's significant evidence pointing toward the possibility of some kind of missile. That's why I'm telling you, you've got to get up and take a look at that photograph. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Deborah from a little town called Knobnostor, Missouri.
Wow. Hi, Deborah. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Okay.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
And to you.
I've been trying to, really been wanting to tell you this. I don't have cable. And I just get five stations on my TV set.
Right.
And they showed, I can't remember which channel it was on. I think it was Channel 4. But they showed this amateur film of that missile hitting the plane, and the picture that the lady took was just a picture of it before it struck the plane. This was an amateur film, and it showed the whole thing.
Well, I certainly have not seen that. Now, what I have seen are demonstrations of a shoulder-fired missile. In fact, Hard Copy did that during the body of their story, and the missile fires and takes down an airplane. I wonder if that's what you might have seen.
I don't know. I was just watching the news, and they showed it hitting the plane, and they showed people watching it, so I just took it for granted that was a real thing.
No, I think not. I'm sure that is what you saw, but I believe what you saw was a demonstration of how a plane would be taken down by a missile.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, they had another thing on the radio, some type of rumor saying that on this plane there were two used to be bodyguards of Clinton's. They were on their way to England to tell their story to a newspaper there.
All right, thank you. Well, I don't know about that one. Every time somebody is killed, somebody wants to blame it on the president. This president is not my favorite person, as you know, but I don't give a lot of weight to those rumors. I don't think this president is having people killed. I don't think this president is actively involved or even was in bringing drugs in. I don't buy into that stuff. My arguments with the presidents, with this president, is a political one. And I think that that is the way, if Bob Dole is to be successful, very unlikely possibility, in running against this president, it isn't going to be with that kind of material. It's going to be with the issues, not allegations and accusations and rumors. And I think that conservatives opposed to the president are best served by not forwarding that kind of baloney. Because that is not what's going to take him out of office. It's going to be a battle on the issues. It may be that a lot of people see the issues as not a battle that Bob Dole can win, and so they say this sort of thing. Well, there were a couple of guys on there who had the real goods on Clinton, you know, and they had 800 taken down because of that. Well, come on. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello. Going once.
Is this Art Bell?
Yes, it is. Turn that radio off.
Hello?
Turn that radio off, sir.
All right, it's off, buddy. This is Kevin in Leavenworth.
Leavenworth, Kansas.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Home of the containment facility.
Yeah, pretty close to all of them.
Yes.
I got on the radio the other night, Jerry Brown.
Yes.
Okay, and he was talking about legalizing drugs.
Was he?
Yeah, I believe he was.
What did he say?
Well, they said he wanted to legalize them to, because it would reduce crime.
How does he know that?
I don't know. I believe that's what I heard him saying.
Well, I've thought about that a lot. Let's take the case of the young gang member that's selling drugs. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And let's think about it for a moment. We legalize drugs. Oh, no. Now he has no product to peddle on the streets, right?
Right.
Now, ask yourself this. Is this young enterprising gang member going to say, oh, no, that's the end of my career. Let me quickly go get a job at Burger King because that's all that's left to me? Or is he going to begin doing something else, most likely against the law, to continue to live in the style to which he has become accustomed?
Exactly. I mean, it's so destructive, drugs are anyway, so I can't even fathom the thought of some ass wanting to make them legal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand. I wouldn't call Jerry an ass. I understand that there's a genuine argument in behalf of taking the profit out of it. But I honestly don't believe it would suddenly convert those who are selling drugs and living a life of crime to become saints and burger flippers. No way.
Oh, no. It's too much money to be made in dealing drugs.
Well, no. Even if they took it out, they're going to find something else. I mean, they're going to start breaking into homes. They're going to start stealing things or hitting people over the head, whatever it takes. They're not going to go get a legitimate job. So that's my attitude about that. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Leonard in Bonnie Lake, Washington.
Bonnie Lake, Washington.
Yeah, I'm just up the hill from Puyallup.
Yes, sir.
I have something I thought I'd call and tell you about.
All right.
Involving this taxes and everything.
Yes.
I used to watch a program on Channel 9 called Japan Today, and twice they talked about Japan's economic problems.
Right.
And twice the answer was from the Clinton administration to correct their economic troubles was to cut their taxes across the board.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the other hand, he raised our taxes, you know, the highest tax increase ever, so.
After he promised middle-class tax break, remember?
Yeah. But anyway, anybody that wants a government to tax them has got to be sick. That's all I can say. But this is the truth. This isn't anything I heard on Limbaugh or any of that other stuff. I'm a little nervous. But it's something that I heard with my own ears and saw on TV.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate the input, sir. I do. And I, look, I said this to the two liberal callers. The one thing I will admit is that both sides promise things and do things they think you will like. It's just that Bill Clinton does it a little better. That's all. Bill Clinton is a true expert at telling the American people what they want to hear. That's politics. And he is a very astute politician. That's all. A little bit better at it than Bob Dole, or maybe even a lot better at it than Bob Dole. And in America, we have become a nation of people who are pleased when we are told what we want to hear. Everything's going to be okay. I'm really quite conservative. I will cut your taxes. I will do this. I will do that. I will improve the educational system and welfare as we know it. And he will. He'll do whatever he's got to do to get back into office, period. That's the man we're dealing with. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes. This is Roberta from Norwalk, California.
Hi, Roberta.
Yes. Okay, there's two main things here. About that troopers on the plane, that was purely a rumor that was not true.
Those
two troopers are alive and well in Arkansas today.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Larry Nichols brought that, verified that, because they are two of his witnesses.
Yeah.
Also, there was, however, from a trustworthy source, to Art Bell, not Art Bell, to Ray Bream. I don't know if you know Ray Bream. He's one.
I know Ray very well.
Okay, Ray gave it as from a very trustworthy source, but unverified, that it was from friendly fire. And a great deal of detail was given, though I didn't write it all down.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've got a number of faxes about that.
Okay, you have the information. But he said it did come from an extremely good source, and he doesn't normally give that unless give it out over the air unless he trusts the information, at least somewhat. But he did say he didn't have it verified. Okay, the second thing that I wanted to ask you about, or to tell you about, Kennedy was a supply sider. He did cut taxes, and it raised
revenues.
Yeah.
Yeah, it always does, ma'am.
So the thing is, Kennedy is one of their own, and he was a supply sider.
No,
so
that's
how can they all come out against him?
Well, because it's fashionable to do that now, that's why. I thought my rainforest analogy was a good one. I thought it up just at that very moment, and maybe I'll repeat it and refine it.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 27th of August, 1996. Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from August 27th, 1996.
Top of the morning. It's a weird night. Oh. Big full moon up there. The magnetic poles seem to be shifting. Let me read you what I've got again. It just keeps going. Art, I'm 20 degrees off now on my east siding. I'll get out my tripod, level it, shoot the sun in the morning, let you know. Also, if I'm still off, I'll check with some Navy friends and have them set their reference stable element to true. If they're off, I hope no one's doing a live fire exercise. Robin in San Diego. Art, if there's a shift in true north, how do pilots adjust for that? Could that account for so many military planes crashing? Diane, KGA, Spokane. Or this, dear Art. On the magnetic north deviation. Please note that it was brought forth on a shortwave program recently that the sun is in the process of reversing its magnetic polarity. We're going to be in for quite a ride. Well, I don't know. Without being able to reference the content, I also just got a fax from Major Dames. SciTech's Major Dames. And so I thought I would take this opportunity, Major, since I know you're out there, to invite you to come back and do another program. Are you busy tomorrow night, Major? Would you like to come on and do it? He sent me some information that cannot be made public yet. But how about a show tomorrow night, Major? Are you interested? Sure. That'd be fun to do right in the middle of the Democrats' convention. Wouldn't it? Then this, dear Art, I think it would be extremely ironic if the, quote, missile photograph, end quote, was not substantial enough for the FBI to prove or disprove the TWA missile theory, but instead would force the FBI to finally publicly admit to the existence of UFOs. Sean in Reno. So, that's some of the stuff we're looking at, and I've got the story on this guy with the rats in, Billings. I really want to hear about this. It wasn't in Missoula, it was in Billings. And, I want to hear from some people in Billings. So maybe we'll try and hold a line open. I will hold a line open in a minute. As a matter of fact, let me set aside a line for people in Billings. Call us at area code, everybody else hold off, please. Area code 702-727-1222. Billings, Montana only. Everybody else, drop off that line, please, and let the people in Billings. This is a very important story about the man with the rats. I want to hear about it. 702-727-1222, economic survival. Not so easy these days, no matter where you are in the rainforest canopy, eh? Running harder to keep even. No fun. And you know what? That happens mainly when you're working for somebody else. From Billings, Montana, tear gas, water cannon have failed to drive out Robert Dorton from his motel home. This is a brand new story where he's been barricaded now for 2 days, keeping police from confiscating his pet rats. Police have had to evacuate the area around the townhouse motel in downtown Billings because Dorton fired several shots from a room that neighbors said has been his home for 8 years. Standoff began Monday when Dorton refused to open his door to an animal control officer who was responding to complaints. Tenants of the motel said they'd seen, get this folks, two rats the size of cats in Dorton's room. He was seen kissing one of the rodents and referred to them as, quote, my brothers, end quote. They're referring to this now as a kind of Freeman thing. It's the big rat standoff in Billings. And so I'm holding a line open here for a while in for Billings, for Montana people in the area who know about this standoff. How many of you would kiss a rat? Hmm? On my Montana line, you're on the air. Hello. Wait a minute. Now you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, this is Mike in Forsyth.
Forsyth, Montana?
I'm 100 miles east of Billings.
What do you know about this?
Well, this guy's got, like you said, he's got two rats as big as tomcats. They're big, I guess.
Yeah?
And they closed the high school down.
What?
Yeah, they closed the central high school down. There's several schools in Billings. They closed the central high school down because they don't want nobody shot, you know?
Well, the high school is in some proximity to the motel, I take it.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Wow.
And they got streets closed. There's a couple of the main big streets that run through there. They got
Holy
them blocked
smokes.
Off.
Holy smokes. And all of this because of a couple of rats.
Well, he's got like 16 of them in there, I guess.
Oh, that's a lot. Especially in the motel room. That's no good.
Yeah. He's in his bathroom. When they put the tear gas in there.
He took off into the bathroom. So that's how he escaped the tear gas?
Yeah, he locked himself in the bathroom and put a mattress up against the doors.
Yeah.
And then he's got gas masks and everything.
I suppose he brought all his rats in with him.
Yeah, I suppose he did, so they didn't die.
Or
they,
at
they
least...
Call, he calls them his brothers.
That's what he calls them, that's right. He kisses them, too.
Oh, yeah, he must be a different type of guy.
I would
He's at
no
a
more...
town and house motel.
Man, I wouldn't kiss a rat.
Oh, me neither. They're ugly.
Well, they are, and they got sharp little teeth. I mean, these are rodents. Now, as loving as a rat might be able to become, who knows? You put a rat on science diet, maybe it grows.
Yeah.
But still, it could bite and. Ugh.
Yeah, they got to have a lot of diseases, you know.
So then, you're verifying this story is true.
Oh yeah, it's very true. Yeah, I know for a fact it is. Yeah, it's still going on right now.
Well, you know, Montana just has not had it too good this year.
No, we had them weirdos over in Jordan.
There's been some problems in Montana.
Yeah.
And now it's rats. All right. Well, thank you very much for the call and the confirmation of that story. There you've got it, folks. A rat? I would like to see a rat as big as a cat. Like my cat. Abby, 17 pounds. Can you imagine a rat that big? Or a small dog, even? I can actually understand, and people have been sending faxes saying, you know, they make good pets. Maybe they do. Maybe rats are somehow loving. But the kissing part, that's really going too far. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This is Cindy in Kansas City.
Cindy, you're going to have to sneak up on that phone and yell at us.
Okay. I'm in Kansas City.
Right.
Okay. I don't know if it's my area or what, but I've heard three calls now, including my own, of people that have seen the same tape on television that I have of this missile blowing this airplane.
Well, I saw it, too.
Well, I know, but when I saw it, it was the very night that that happened. And
I think, though, really I think, it was a demonstration of what a shoulder-fired missile can do. It hit a drone. That's what I think you're talking about. And there's been no video that I know of
of a
missile hitting a 747 aircraft, and they're very easily discernible.
That very first night, you also saw witnesses that saw this.
That's true.
But you don't see them anymore either on television.
That's true.
And also, Art, I've been waiting for this report from the Farsight Institute in Atlanta.
I am going to give it, yes.
Well, we're waiting.
All right. I'll get it on. Thank you.
Oh, great. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. It is interesting. Let me see if I can get it out. And don't forget, Ed Dames, if you're out there, you're invited to do a show with me tomorrow night if you want to. Send me a fax and let me know. Where is my Farsight Institute? It is a competitive... Here it is. All right, Farsight student example number 4. The target for this session was the largest pyramid in Egypt. After 3 pages of preliminary data, the viewer drew the sketch that is linked below. In the sketch, there is the obvious drawing of the pyramid. But the session also revealed some ideas that may be relevant to how the pyramids were constructed. The session seemed to suggest the builders may have piled up dirt to cover the pyramid as it was being constructed layer upon layer. In this way, the builders would not have to lift any large rocks. Rather, they could simply place the blocks on logs or even stone dowels and push the blocks over the dirt and into place on the rising pyramid. After another layer of stones was placed, the builders could then raise the ground level by piling up more dirt around the pyramid and begin to roll the next layer of stones into place and so forth. After the pyramid was finished, the builders would then dig it out of the dirt, thereby exposing it. Note the offset ground levels in the sketch. The vertical line above the pyramid may represent the lined up logs or dowels on which the stone blocks were placed. The session did not resolve these points definitively by any means. But the viewer was clearly, quote, on target, end quote, with the pyramid. The viewer also constructed a timeline and located the time of the target about 3,000 years ago. As with all other training sessions at the Farsight Institute, the viewer was doing the session totally, quote, blind, end quote, in other words, without any conscious identifying information regarding what the target was to be. So there you've got it. And if we have Graham Hancock back on, we will ask him about that. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. This is Mike from Billings, Montana.
Oh, hi, Mike. How you doing?
Well, pretty good this morning. Yourself?
Well, I'm okay. I'm amazed at this story.
It is rather strange, but we've had our share of strange stories lately.
It has been a hard year for Montana, hasn't it?
That it has. That it has.
So this is true. They've actually called off school because of it.
Yes, sir. Billings Central is a couple blocks away from the motel.
What are the people in Billings... I mean, well, you're a person in Billings, so you tell me, what do you think about this guy? Is he being mistreated, or are the authorities responding in a proper way?
Well, I think they might have, I mean, spraying the water cannon in there and everything a little harsh for a guy with some wrath. It is over now. I work in an office building about 4 or 5 blocks away from there, and you can see where the police used to have the street barricaded, and it's no longer barricaded, so...
So they've got him out?
Yep.
And the rats?
I would imagine so. Listening to the scanner earlier, I heard him sending some trucks over there and an animal control officer, so.
Well, you know, I can understand that he really shouldn't be doing that in a motel.
Well, that'd be true.
I hope, though, that they don't kill his rats.
It sounded like they were taking him away down to the pound or something.
Yeah. Well, I hope they don't. I mean, these are, I suppose you could love a rat. I don't know how, but I guess you could. And the story going on around Billings was really that this guy was kissing his rats?
Yeah, they said that. There was, I think it got exaggerated with each telling, but that was right from the beginning, so I believe that's probably true.
It just brings back to me that old saying in the movie, no tongues, no tongues. All right, well, thank you very much for the call, and,
well, thank you,
and take care. I mean, kissing rats. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art.
Yes, sir.
It's good to talk to you after listening to you for so long.
Where are you?
I'm in Flagstaff.
Flagstaff, New Mexico, or Flagstaff, Arizona, excuse me.
Flagstaff, California.
Are you in California?
No, you're right, Flagstaff, Arizona, but it's becoming Flagstaff, California.
I know. That stadium.
Let me ask you, if you will, repeat what you just mentioned only briefly at the very beginning of the show. The information that you had regarding a report somewhere in the Southwest... people on the ground fighting with a hovering UFO.
I'll read you what I've got.
Thank you.
Yes, here it is. UFO confrontation in the Southwest last night, Dear Art. Early this morning, between 8:15 and 8:45, a newscaster on Las Vegas radio station, KJUL, announced between songs that, quote, the National UFO Research Department is seeking witnesses to an event in the Southwest that occurred last night that could be described as a battle between people on the ground and a hovering craft. He was adamant the story was real. I called the station, who indicated the programming was syndicated from satellite, originated with Westwood One in the L.A. area. Maybe it was on the Likas show. Anyway, I contacted Westwood One. They told me they'd investigate the matter and get back to me tomorrow. So he also contacted CNN in Atlanta, who had no record of the story. So anybody know anything about it? Signed, Wayne in Las Vegas, east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello, Art.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Paul in Somerville, Texas.
Yes, sir.
And I've been looking at your photograph here, and I've got a computer program where I can really play with the pixels on this thing, And it looks to me like we've definitely got some type of missile here.
Well, if it isn't that, look, I'll say it again. You know, you're looking at it. It's pretty indistinct.
Well, that's true.
However, it is obviously something. It is cylindrical. It seems to have a flare coming from behind it.
Right.
It's in flight at the right time, in the right place, and I think it absolutely cannot be ignored.
Well, now, in this photograph, there are apparently two very small bright sources, one being the apparent flare at the end of the cylinder.
Correct.
And then there's what appears to be a sunspot or something, some reflection or something up to the upper right of that.
Yeah, there may be those who say, well, is that supposed to be the 747? I wouldn't have the slightest idea.
Well, what the reason I was calling is I've been playing with this thing and adjusting the various, the greens and the reds and the hues and the contrast and everything.
Right.
And I've got a very clear image of four wings on this cylinder.
Four wings?
Four wings. And it looks like they're possibly, I've been trying to discern what would be fins on the end of it, but it looks like, and it also appears to be traveling horizontally across the across the water.
But, I quite agree, but it's a little hard to know the angle of the photograph. In other words, whether it was taken at a proper angle. And the reference is so far off that it's you know, you really can't depend on what you're seeing there. It almost looks like the missile is going down instead of up.
Well, that's exactly what I was getting at. You can, with some enhancement, you can see that, that there's, it appears to be going, there seems to be something similar to a cylinder going in several different directions, but there's the main cylinder, which this flare is at the end of. I'll call it a flare, I guess.
Yeah,
now, I've been adjusting for colors, and I can see clearly that there is some orange or yellow tint to that
I believe spot. That's correct, yes.
And I'm seeing something. Now, I don't know very much about missiles, but something along the line of an exocet or something like that is coming to mind. Something that has, now, I don't know what I'm talking about with an exocet, but something that has like a pair of wings on each side of it that go out in sort of a V.
Yep.
From the body, and that's, I can see four wings. I can see two definitely on the right side.
Do you mean to say wings or fins?
I mean something that appears to be wings up toward the, away from the end of the, where the flare is. I'd say about midway into the, almost midway into the, cylinder. And then there appears to be, quite possibly, I can see it looks like one, at least one fin, which is at a different angle from the other ones,
mm-hmm.
From the wings. It appears.
Oh, you're seeing more in it than I did.
Well, I've really been playing with this thing ever since you came on the air.
Well, and, I'll tell you, you can drive yourself crazy with that kind of thing. You can get down to the pixel range, and you can begin to see pictures of our Lord in the middle of it, and
right.
All kinds of things if you spend too much time at the pixel level. But look, I think that the photograph, as it sits, cannot be ignored, and obviously is not being, since the FBI went and grabbed it up. So, I don't know what to say about this, folks, except that I thought you should see it. The photograph is up there now, the link to the photograph on the MSNBC website. You can get it by going to my website, which is www.artbell.com. Remember, about 200 people said they saw something rising toward that aircraft. And this photograph, whatever you think of it, was the right place at the right time at the right angle. You tell me what it is. It is not nothing.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
And it's a good morning to be here. Lots going on. That missile photograph on the webpage, www.artbell.com. Is it a missile? I don't know. It's something long, cylindrical, with a flare coming out the back. Might be a missile. Timing and the place are all right. You decide for yourself. Well, let's see what more trouble we can get in this morning. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
How are you?
It's good to have you back from Russia.
Well, thank you. It's always good to get back from Russia, I guess.
Yeah, this is Debbie Conservative from Missouri.
See, did you hear Troy a little while ago?
Yeah, I just love to hear you guys talk. He's funny.
Yes, he is, and that's a good way to put it.
Yes. Well, first of all, I must have missed something because I can't understand why they're hassling the man with the rats in Billings.
Well, I guess, you know, it's in a motel.
Okay.
And then some of the other patrons were encountering big rats. And,
You mean like wild ones or something?
Well, when you're in a motel room and something as big as a cat that's a rat, you know, you're not probably happy about that.
Right.
Seeing that.
But, I mean, if they allow pets, you know, isn't that, you know, up to, the individual?
Well, let me put it to you this way. We've got a magic act in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, the tiger.
Mm-hmm. And they're pets, and I'm sure they're very friendly animals, but I wouldn't know that if I were to encounter one, you know, like in a hotel there in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And it'd probably scare the hell out of me. And I imagine that's what happened there.
Uh-huh.
It scared people, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, I think you ought to leave him alone, you know. I mean, but now there's gunfire and everything, and, you know, it's...
Well, it definitely was the wrong move to begin shooting at people.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong move there.
And then just a comment through you to Charlie Liberal. I just feel like sometimes the people that follow the Democratic ideals,
mm-hmm,
tend to want to shove their children off on the village,
yeah,
and become a little bit dependent and
I think the government
to solve their problems and,
yeah,
take care of them.
I think Charlie needs some loving.
Yeah, and I don't think you should go to that for the government. Go to his own family. And I believe...
Well, I think that is where Charlie gets his loving, from the government.
Yeah,
that's
not right. You know?
No, it isn't. It's not even decent. Thank you very much for the call. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art Bell?
Yes.
My name is Jeff from California.
Yes, sir.
There was an AP story that went across the air on Monday about Louis Farrakhan. And
$1 billion, right?
Yes, $1 billion from... Muammar Gaddafi.
And he wants to bring $1 billion in.
Yes. And I would like to allege that this is a payoff for TWA 800 and the downing of...
No, it couldn't be, because they were talking about this. Remember back when... you remember back when Farrakhan went over there?
Uh-huh.
It was arranged for then.
Uh-huh.
So...
It was arranged for, but it is interesting that it happens now that he asked permission from the government... After the downing.
Bring in the $1 billion. Yeah.
So
I don't see how you can relate them.
Okay, well, I think Farrakhan has three reasons for this. And the first one is because of the Israeli jet that was supposed to take off at a similar time as the TW-800.
That's a true statement.
Also, for the money. And I think eventually he wants to start a race war. And I'd like to quote a New Yorker article that says, Farrakhan is a man of visions. Just weeks before the march, that's the Million Man March, he told a congregation of Washington, D.C. church about the Mother Wheel, a heavily armed spaceship the size of a city, which will rain destruction upon white America and,
yep,
save those who embrace the Nation of Islam.
He did say that, yes.
And I just think that the coincidence is amazing, and I think that it should be looked into further.
Well, I would imagine people are looking into it.
Yeah. Okay.
I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. And have a good morning. $1 billion. Now, Farrakhan could go a long way with $1 billion. He wants to organize the black people in America with $1 billion. I wonder if they're going to let him bring it in. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Brett, Denver.
Yes, sir.
How's it going?
It goes quite well, actually.
Good. I got an interesting little ditty for you.
Okay.
I got a question, actually. It's kind of a statement. Have you noticed with the two power outages we've had on the West Coast?
Yes.
The train derailment.
Right.
And now the downing of the possible missile, TWA.
Right.
We may have a war, but it's not going to be in a foreign country. It may be on our own soil.
Oh, I hope that's not true.
Look at Louis Farrakhan, like you just got done saying.
Yeah.
He just got all this money from Gaddafi.
Well, he doesn't have it yet.
Yeah.
He wants to bring it in. That's the worst scenario of them all. A foreign enemy, that we can handle. A domestic war, whether it be a race war, whether it be a revolutionary sort of war, the nutball cases out there, terrorists internally, whatever it is, it's the worst scenario. It will rip this country up faster than anything else I can think of.
All you need is 30 terrorists.
Yep.
30 terrorists in the United States and the United States falls.
And money.
Yep. Mr. Clinton is trying to disarm the public. Our first line of defense is the public. Then comes your military.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's something for you all to sleep on.
All right, thank you. Or not sleep on. No, he's right. He certainly is correct. It is the worst of all scenarios. When the thing happened in Oklahoma City, I was wishing, hoping, praying that it was foreign because of the divisive nature of domestic violence. And now that would be the worst thing that could ever happen. If TWA 800 was brought down by domestic terrorism of some kind, oh, God help us. That would just rip this country apart. If it was brought down by our own military by mistake and covered up, same deal. Rip this country up. So it's the last thing you want to happen. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, is this Art Bell, Phil?
It is, yes. Where are you?
I'm located in California.
All right. You're a little hard to hear, so you'll have to speak up. Go right ahead.
I'm calling. I have an idea regarding the changing of the magnetic field due north.
Yes.
We recently have had several major power outages here, and I have heard through an unconfirmed source of some major testing going on in the North Pole. And I would just like to present that to Art, and maybe he could research it more.
I'll tell him about it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yep. First chance I get. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing.
Well, that's good. I'm calling about the missile that you've been talking about for a little while.
Yes, sir.
I've got a little problem with this. When it first happened and all this information started coming out, was there not something about a blip circling the aircraft?
Yes.
And then coming back in on it and merging with
there was a radar signature, and then there, you know, as there always is with this kind of thing, they later said, no, it was just a radar anomaly or a an echo or something. You know, that's what they always say.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what's happening then is, I mean, is it really possible for a handheld missile to circle an aircraft like that?
Yes.
Okay, because I thought it would have, like, the proximity detector that if it had bypassed the plane.
Well, I'm not a military munitions expert, but there are some missiles that, as you point out, the second they detect they pass the target, detonate, try to get a proximity hit.
Uh-huh.
Then there are other missiles, heat sink seekers, and I presume radar homing missiles as well, that if they miss the target, do have the ability to turn and go back after it.
Okay. Because I have some friends who are in the military, and they have some experience with, you know, electronic warfare systems and other types of systems like that.
Right.
And, you know, I've discussed it with them, and they don't, you know, none of them, and me included, can't see a way that a handheld missile like that would be able to even lock on to a target, you know, in that short time. Because you got to look at, the plane was, you know, still pretty low to the ground.
Oh, I don't think there'd be any problem at all. Look, this plane was hit at 13,000 feet, And a 747 is not exactly a trivial target. It's a big heat source.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a missile would have any trouble locking on at all, sir. I appreciate the call. But if anything, a 747 is a hell of a lot easier to lock on to than an F-15 or 16 with the speed it's going. Now, I don't think there'd be a lock-on problem. There's some controversy about whether it could have reached the aircraft. But there are many differing types of missiles. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Greg in Oklahoma City. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I sent you a fax a few weeks ago. I think caught your attention about flowers on the wall in Amarillo, Texas.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Oh, I think the most beautiful women in the world are in the Texas Panhandle. The stories I could tell you.
I could tell stories too, but I won't.
Let's not, shall we?
No,
that's
right.
I sent you a fax a few moments ago about the passing of Greg Morris.
Before we get to that, my Air Force years were precious years in more ways than one.
I visited the old Air Force base in Amarillo just a few months ago, and it's now a ghost town. There's basically nothing left of it.
Well, they got do they still have the red and white towers there?
No, sir. As I recall, it's been torn down, and they've replaced it now with something else. Their claim to fame now is being some sort of secondary or tertiary landing site for the space shuttle in case of something, bad happening, because it is such a long runway.
Oh, now that's something. That's interesting.
That's Amarillo trivia for you.
Thank you.
If I could put something positive with all the Farrakhan talk on the air this morning, the passing yesterday of Greg Morris.
Yes?
I don't know about you, but, as a redneck Texan growing up in the 1960s and 1970s, I've always thought that Greg Morris, through his character as Barney on Mission Impossible, and also Nichelle Nichols,
right,
as her role of Lieutenant Uhura on Star Trek,
right,
to me, did more to improve race relations than, anyone I can think of, nearly. I hope that doesn't sound trite, and it's kind of silly that through the efforts of, such people, who have seriously tried to improve race relations, that it's been achieved through, something of the sort of TV programs. But if you think about it, back in those days, Barney and Lieutenant Uhura, being black people, extremely intelligent and people of great power, I can recall some of the older folks in my family having their jaws hit the floor, at the thought of such a thing. But it sure adjusted my attitude.
To me, the best way to improve race relations is not to dwell on them. And the people that hurt us most are the ones on the radio and elsewhere that do nothing but dwell on racism, period. And at any turn of an argument, will accuse somebody of being a racist.
Were you around? I'm forgiving. Were you around in the late 60s and early 70s? Were you a fan of Mission Impossible and Star Trek?
Well, yes, I watched both, and I've been a Trekkie, and I still am.
Do you recall a little bit of social shock at seeing, Barney and Lieutenant Uhura being in positions of such power and being, handsome and intelligent and educated and very noble beings?
Sure.
I think that did so much, and I'm personally going to miss, Mr. Morris. I think I hope he's resting in peace with a smile on his face now, because I think he did well with his time here on Earth.
Well, that's a very good thing to say of him, and I'm sure if he's hearing it now, he's smiling.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care. I try not to dwell on race problems, and I think that's one answer, that we dwell on it too damn much, and that ends up causing problems. There's a little bit of out of sight, out of mind kind of psychology at work here. I'm not saying it shouldn't be discussed when it is a problem. Heaven knows we've done that. But not to dwell on it all the time. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Art. This is Carl in KOMO province. How are you?
Yes, I'm just fine.
Good. I'm glad to hear that, Art. I've been a long-time listener. If I fail to catch anything in the way of a Cuba connection on this Flight 800, please check me if I'm wrong. But I'm wondering, since they have downed aircraft in the past, I'm wondering if there's any possible connection between Cuba and Flight 800.
Well, that's one area of imagination. Sure, there could be. There could be. The Cubans have always been troublemakers up to this kind of thing, financing it at least, training people to do it possibly, certainly with access to the kind of hardware it takes to do the job. So, yeah, it could be.
Well, I don't know if this has been discussed or not. If you've had another caller contact you with the same thought.
I'll tell you this. If it were proven, it would be the end of Castro's regime in Cuba forthwith.
Well, I'm surprised it didn't end quite some time ago, but I can't help but think about that, particularly on that commemorative flight that Cuban refugees made, what was it, back about 6 months ago?
Yep.
And I just wondered if there could possibly be a connection there.
Good thinking.
So, anyway, Art, I appreciate the time and you're allowing me to express that thought, and I hope it's food for thought on those who are no doubt wishing for a domestic part of the equation here. I feel that some of this is orchestrated to bring the U.S. population under total control, and I mean specifically a United Nations effort of some sort. I may be paranoid, and I think I've talked to you before on the same subject, and this is what I fear, and I think that the elections coming up are going to be a watershed in determining specifically what kind of country this is.
If, sir, you've talked to me before on the subject, then you shouldn't be on the first-time caller line.
Oh, I must have misdialed. As I say, I haven't.
All right, well, listen, I've got to run then. Thank you very much for the call, but that is for first-time callers only. Area code 702-727-1222. So you got to actually listen to what people say to you. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Howdy. Here I've been sitting being good, not calling on the first-time caller line. This guy gets through.
Well, I caught him, though, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. I heard that as soon as he said. I thought I'd discussed this with you before. I was like, ah.
You know, there's a lot of talk show hosts, and they sit, and for whatever number of hours they're on the air, they just sort of push buttons and let people make little speeches, and they don't even sit there and really listen to what the person is saying. You actually have to listen to the people that you put on the air.
Oh, yeah. I get the vision of you actually sitting there paying attention, not the, like the guy who sits there on the Wayne's World show where he was getting slapped around by Wayne and his buddy Garth and didn't even realize it on the air.
Yep, that's me.
Well, I just wanted to say a couple things about good old Charlie Liberal. I couldn't hardly stand sitting there listening to him.
It's so repetitive and so predictable that I guess I'm getting, it's almost like an immunity, you know, when you get hit with something so many times, you finally start getting immune to it. It's just sort of like la-da-da-da-da. You guys, you cruel guys, you child killers, blah, blah, blah.
That was getting kind of repugnant to me, the idea that I would ever allow my grandparents or my children or anybody to suffer because of what I believed. It just made me feel like he was calling me dirt or other bad words.
He was.
Yeah. Another thing on the TWA, there's a picture of the rocket. I haven't seen the picture or missile going up from the water. Has anybody looked at any pictures of the water to see what was down there?
You mean as in like a submarine or a boat or
something? Yeah, or anything.
I would think, well, the photographs they have were taken from ground level, and you've got to bear in mind that if something was shot toward that airplane, it had to be quite a number of miles out at sea, so the line of sight would not have allowed that, and there is no such photograph that I know of, or even evidence, eyewitness evidence of somebody, you know, on the ocean, so we don't know anything about that, but a missile would have been seen because of the altitude.
Yeah, it was Hoagland who said it was at the Terminator.
It was, that's correct, of course. It was at the Terminator. The aircraft was in sunlight, but on the ground, it was already virtually dark. In other words, that gray area between dusk and full darkness.
Absolutely. Well, there's one other thing I wanted to talk about since I'm a police officer and I...
Oh, no kidding. Can you hold on?
Sure.
All right, officers, stay right there. And we'll be right back to you.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 27th of August, 1996.
Somebody faxed me the other night and said, you know, women, they ought to come with a set of instructions. That's true. There's something we'll never understand. Much like the Kennedy assassination. The disappearance of Judge Crater. Probably the TWA thing. There's lots of things we will never know about. Women are no doubt one of those. All right, the man who just before the break identified himself as an officer of law. Back on the air again.
Howdy. My name's Don, and I'm in Forks, and if you can guess what state I'm in, you win the prize.
Did you say Forks?
Exactly.
North Dakota.
Washington.
Washington. Forks, Washington.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, we're out here on the corner of the peninsula, and because of the mountains in the way, I can only get you on Oregon stations. A little scratchy.
If I wanted to have some of my listeners arrested, could you help?
Well, we'd have to talk about that later, but...
all right, that's fine. We'll have a private communication. I don't want them to serve a lot of time, you know, just...
Yeah, I can think of a few that probably deserve to be in there for a few weeks anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, let them see what it's like to live on the government dole there.
That's right, know? That's right. Really on the dole.
Yeah, three hots and a cot.
You got it.
Well, the two things I wanted to talk about near and dear to my heart are... both involve personal liberty, are firearms and narcotics drugs.
Okay.
I am not a user of narcotics, never have, never will. Because they are illegal, I do arrest those who use them, deal in them, transport the whole nine yards. But I'm very much like Harry Brown on this subject. I believe that because of personal liberty and government just does not work on this subject, I think that... I would say legalization would probably be the only real safe way to end the quote-unquote war on drugs and actually kind of declare victory. We've won, but, you know.
Well, I guess you wouldn't have to make any more arrests.
No, not on that, you know, not on that subject. I would say that. And it would, I believe it would bring down drug use, actually, because of the two most commonly used drugs, you know, well, not counting caffeine, you know, being nicotine and alcohol. Society pressure has brought down the use of those, not any laws about them.
You know, I have come to the point in this argument of the legalization of drugs where I would like to see a test. Maybe one state in these U.S. of A., these combined states, where we would legalize drugs and watch and see what happens.
Oh, I would like to see it, too. You know, I've seen people's, you know, rap sheets, of course, and I saw a man who had three counts of attempted murder where he had tried to, you know, he's actually shot people in the back. He spent 18 months in jail for those total.
Yikes.
He had one count of possession of marijuana, spent 22 months in jail. Now,
well, let me ask you this. When you encounter a teenager or a young person, fairly young person, and they've got a joint or a small amount of marijuana, what do you do?
Well, we have a zero tolerance. So I have limited authority over children who are not members of my community. So because I work on an Indian reservation.
Oh, I see.
If they are... if they are non-members, non-tribal members, I will arrest them and or detain them, administratively detain them, until a sheriff will get down there, and then it's up to the sheriff, whatever he's going to do.
I see.
Our children, I take it into evidence, issue them a ticket because we have no facilities for children. We don't have enough money for it. And then I will take them to their parents' home or grandparents or whoever can take care of them.
Where, no doubt, good things do not happen.
No doubt.
And on guns?
Oh, I believe anybody should be able to own whatever they wish. I have no compunctions at all about that. I think that you have not only a right, but an obligation to protect yourself.
you were saying that in urban areas, it's, you know, cops can get there quicker, but I had a friend who, she called me after she called the Seattle police with a 911 disconnect, and I got there 30 minutes before the Seattle police.
And well, okay, but again, you're enforcing on a reservation, right? In downtown Seattle, that might not be true.
No, it's...
But if you, you know, if you live out in the country, I mean, you're living with certain realities, and there's drive time, and the density of patrol is not that great. And so if you want protection, you better protect yourself.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the police were not designed as a primary protective force. They were designed to supplement, you know, people's own protection of themselves. I wouldn't want my grandmother or mother to have to wait, you know, even 2 minutes on somebody trying to get there to them. I expect them to be able to defend themselves instantly if some crazy guy was trying to bust through their windows or whatnot. And as far as this argument of the militia goes, the National Guard was federalized, I believe, in the 60s or 50s, which means that's no longer a local force. That's national. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they're no longer the militia.
I appreciate your call, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, and take care. In the state of Washington. Yeah, I mean, it's just common sense. If you're out in the country, it was a certain drive time, response time to get to you. And if you have need to protect yourself, you've got to protect yourself. That's all there is to it. Or else by the time they get there, it's all over. You know, and you're not going to have anything to say. There won't be any court date. You'd be dead. So it's just, it's obvious. It's a no-brainer. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing, bud?
Well, all right.
I don't believe it. Don't turn my radio down.
Do the wild thing at 702-727-1295. Okay, well, you're out of here. You're out of here. You see, when you use bad language, and he used the F word, you're out of here immediately. I mean, there's no second chance. You come on here and use the F word, intentionally, unintentionally, or however it comes out of your mouth, and you're history, brother. You're out of here. And moreover, it doesn't do you any good because I have a wonderful memory for voices. And I don't let you back on the air. Moreover, your effort at foul language didn't make it on the air because we have a tape delay. You know, for people like you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning to you.
Mike in Blair, Nebraska.
Yes, sir.
Hey, the Flight 800 thing. About a week, maybe a week and a half ago, in the Omaha World Herald, there was a story, and I think it was off the AP wire. I'm not sure where it came from, but it was an FBI official claiming that they found that most of the eyewitnesses were not credible. He said of all the eyewitnesses that they interviewed, they only found about three or four to be credible witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And those happened to be the three or four that did not see a missile. And I thought that was very interesting that they would
what about the military officers who were on a commercial flight and said it was a missile?
I guess
how
they
did
were
not
they
credible. Not credible, huh?
Well, according to this FBI guy, you know, they just discounted and said most of these people probably had heard things on the news or whatever. And
well, I'm sure there was a lot of that.
Where they were making up their stories.
Yep, I'm sure there was a lot of that. There always is.
But why would you just go with the few and discount the many? You know, it seems very strange.
Well, maybe because you're trying to get something to come out the way you want in the press. I don't know.
Well, I would. Yeah, I guess that would be it.
I find it strange that the media, in the very beginning, interviewed zillions of people
mm-hmm.
who claimed they saw a missile. And then all of a sudden, all of that just disappeared.
Just disappeared.
Strange.
Well, hopefully we're going to get to the bottom of this eventually. I don't know that we will, but I think America wants the answers.
Well, the longer it goes on, the less likely it is we will ever get an answer. It's just like homicides. If they don't solve them generally in the first hours or days, the rate of conclusion successful conclusion to an investigation goes way down.
So, speaking of credibility, I just saw on one of the tabloids this morning. I was in a store and they had a picture on the front page of the Martian life forms, and it looked like a blown-up picture of some sort of insect, a fly or something.
Oh, really?
And at the bottom of the front page, they had the face, the Martian face on Mars.
Yes.
And I just bought Mark Carlotto's book last week, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yes.
Which is, you know, very credible and goes into quite a bit of detail about it.
Well, he's a credible scientist.
They stick it in a tabloid, and that kind of, you know, takes away from the credibility of it.
Yeah, well, we're lucky we didn't see the bug you talked about crawling across the face the way the tabloids do it. I wonder how they could get a bacteria to look like a microscopic chupacabra from Mars. Anyway, west of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Arbel.
Hello.
I'm in South Worth, Washington.
Oh, that's where you are?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
My name is Sean.
Yes, sir.
Just wanted to say, I remember just overhearing the gentleman in Forks, Washington.
Yes.
Well, I happen to work for the Seattle Police Department.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that I do is I take calls from individuals who want response time to their needs in a timely fashion.
Right.
What I found and what the department wants to do is to have everybody accountable for themselves to try to help out the police department.
Well, that makes sense to me in more ways than one, not just as a good a policy.
In a way of community policing.
Sure.
You know, we have individuals that call all the time and say, hey, we got this minority, if you will, living in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Doing what this gentleman does for a living of collecting the narcotics, putting people away, but they're wanting us to be there all the time.
Well, you can't be.
No, we
can't. That's why I tell people, look, if somebody is breaking through your window or a door and you pick up the phone and you call 911, by the time you have dialed and begun to report your location, name, if you can even get it all out, how long is it going to take that person to get from the broken window or door to you?
Yeah,
versus the response time after the radio call to get the patrol car to the scene of the break-in.
Certainly. And we will get there as fast as we can, as readily as possible, the higher the priority calls. What I believe in is what we call life over property. We
sure.
go over the life-threatening things over the property
of
issues.
Of course.
And a lot of people don't consume that. But if I can ask one more question, sir.
Sure.
Off the side, I know you're amateur radio enthusiast.
I am.
I don't know, do you have the time when you were over on your vacation to meet any fellow hams or take any QSL cards with you, if that's what you do in exchange? Or
I did. I took QSLs. I operated on certain bands that I'm not going to discuss here.
Certainly.
And I had fun, but I didn't take an HF rig with me. I took VHF, UHF.
All right. Well, I'm an enthusiast listener, and I got everybody here at work listening to you, and I enjoy your program immensely.
All right. I thank you for the call. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you what I did. Probably shouldn't, but I will. It is possible when you're on a ship, which is out at sea, you know, away from land, to discern through the auspices of a scanner the ship's operating frequencies. The officers on the ship have one set of UHF radios, and the crew, which mans the lifeboats and the so forth and so on, has a VHF group of frequencies that they use. And it is possible to discern these frequencies with a scanner and then program them into a handheld and an individual, not that I would ever do anything like this, of course, an individual can have a great deal of fun talking to the officers and crew of a cruise ship. Again, emphasizing that I, of course, would never do anything like this. I'm just telling you what can be done. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. Corporate welfare is 5 times a year more than helping the poor. It costs over $150 billion a year, whereas helping the poor costs $30 billion or so.
What is corporate welfare?
What is corporate welfare? I don't know. Help to big business.
Help to big business.
Financial help, taxpayers' dollars that go to support and prop up and pull out of hot water big businesses.
Well, sometimes it just plain helps it out. If you help out big business, wouldn't you think it would be true that big business would then provide more jobs?
Well, we see that jobs are going out of the country, so we know what big business when they get so big.
But wait a minute,
reckless.
Wait a minute now. Mr. Clinton is claiming that he's created 10 million jobs. Where'd they come from?
I don't know. Maybe they're service jobs. I don't know what where those jobs are, or where they came from, or anything like that. Maybe they're part-time jobs. I live near McDonnell Douglas. They wanted to turn full-time jobs into part-time jobs for the workers. I don't know. Why do I try to appeal to a right-winger to have a heart, to care about the country, to stop wanting to have it all?
I have a heart. I have compassion for R.J. Reynolds.
Yeah.
There's compassion in my heart. McDonnell Douglas, they do wonderful things for us. They give us airplanes that we can fly in. They give the military airplanes to defend our nation with. And I have compassion for them.
Yes, but the nation is in bad shape because the wealth all belongs to a few people.
It does?
And
But McDonnell Douglas and R.J. Reynolds, they give a lot of jobs to people.
The rainforest has trickled up for 23 years or whatever.
I've never seen that happen. You might, the little bitty plants actually dispense a moisture upward to
it
the canopy.
It is unnatural.
That's remarkable.
That's why it's wrong for human beings to have to live like that.
Yeah, but the canopy deer is the McDonnell Douglas and the R.J. Reynolds, and the little guys down at the bottom, the ones that are trickled upon.
Trickled up. The wealth has gone up. There's been 60% increase in our economy.
Okay, but the wealth is...
And that has all gone to the rich.
But it's supposed to go up. That's the way it works.
No, it's not. It's supposed to be democratic. It's supposed to be spread around.
Well, you see, when it rains heavily on the canopy, then it drops on down, and that's how it works. That's its cycle of nature.
Do you hear this? Do you see that this is wrong, that this is not right for a country? Where a country
really?
Is all... family and everyone working together. It's not right.
Have
that
you
people
seen,
become so rich they
have,
don't even care about
it. Hey, dear, have you look? You look at socialist states around the world, and they don't look
that
so hot.
That isn't socialist.
I said social. I didn't say communist. We talked about communism. I said socialist. What you're talking about and wanting is socialism.
No, wrong.
All right, so then explain to me what you do want.
We can't go. The 50s, there was a reasonable life for the middle class, except the blacks still didn't have a fair share. I would like it like that, but for everybody, including the blacks. Not a million black people in prison. Not a million black men in prison. The drugs. When a government can distribute drugs to their own country, they don't care about the country.
Now wait a minute. You're starting to jump all around here. What kind of economy do you want? I mean, what exactly do you want?
I want a decent wage for the middle class, where they don't have both the husband and wife have to work, where they have less and less, where they have to run harder to stay in the same place, where the rich, where all we can see where all the wealth is going, it's going to the top few percent, 5%. That's just not right. They not only take the money, but they take the jobs out of the country too.
Well. what would you say to a company that's considering opening a plant, for example, in Mexico? Would you say, no, you can't do that?
I'd say that, you know, where did this company got to its position in this country through having the breaks, the benefits of being in this country. I'd say that they have a responsibility to give it back, to keep generating wealth for this country, for everyone in this country. I'd say that if it's going to...
I wish we had more time for this, but my program is ending. So you're going to get the honors this morning.
You let me do this.
Well, sure, I'll let you do it. Tell America a great big socialist good night.
Good night, America.
All right. Good night, dear. We've got to go from the high desert. I'm Art Bell. Thank you all very much. See you tomorrow night. Don't forget, Major Dame says he'll be here. See you then. Good night, America.